Okay, Nuntasim et Aleph, six lines before the wide lines. Really, it's 59.8. No, I'm sorry. The second of the wide lines, 59.83. The second of the wide lines at the bottom of the page. Okay, the Mishnah said it then. So what happens if a man comes over to a woman and says, become a Kodesh, he gives her money, it says, become a Kodesh to me after 30 days. Another guy comes, the Mishnah says, and does Kedusha within the 30 days, she's a Kodesh to the second guy, because the Kedusha wasn't affected yet. Okay? Now, what happens, Loi bar ache v'kitcha? What happens if the Gemara says not like this? Another guy did not come to do the Kedusha. So it means like today, a man gives a woman a ring and says, I am a Kadeshusli after 30 days. So if nobody comes, after 30 days, she's Mekadeshus, no problem, right? The Kadushin is valid because that was what he said. So until now, the Gemara said, what happens if another guy comes and does it before? Now the Gemara says a very simple thing. A guy says to a woman, here's the Kadushin, I am a Kadeshusli after 30 days. So if nothing happens again after 30 days, she's Mekodeshes. What happens on the 25th day? She says, I changed my mind. She says, I changed my mind. I don't want the Kedusha. Can she or can't she?
It's up to her.
No. Okay, the second line of the white. Lo ba'ach v'kitcha. What happened if nobody else came before 30 days? V'chazeba, and she changed her mind. Mahu, what's the din? Rabbi Yechanan Amar Chizeres, this Gemara we learned last week, these three lines. Rabbi Yechanan says, Chizeres, the woman could change her mind. She could change her mind. Why? Asa dibur and mevatu dibur. Speech can come and change speech. First she said yes, now she's saying no. So she could change her mind because the Kedusha is not effective yet. It's not effective yet. So she could change her mind. Why not? Rish Lakish Amar Rish Lakish says no. She cannot change her mind. Why not? Speech cannot change speech. In other words, she said yes, she can't come along and say no now. Wow. She already said yeah, how could she say no?
So what happens if she marries
the guy, she makes his life hell?
No, if she wants, she can marry the guy, and she can get a get. She can't get a get now because the Kedusha is not affected yet. She's not married. But according to the Shlokish, she cannot change her mind. Rabbi Yechon says she could change her mind, and it's null and void, and the Shlokish says no. Let's see the Gemara. Eitzi, Rabbi Yechon and the Shlokish. Rabbi Yechon asked a question on the Shlokish. It says in the Mishnah, Bittel, what happens like this? The case is, a man has a field. He needs to separate Truma. Okay? But he doesn't have to do it by himself. He can make a shliach to separate truma. So he makes a shliach. He says, Yankel, do me a favor. Go to my field and separate truma for me. Ubitel. Then the owner changes his mind. He says, you know what? Forget it. I don't want you to do it. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. Imachalei toram bitel. If he did not, the shliach, did not separate the truma yet, and the owner changed his mind, the din is, ein trumasi truma. What the shliach did is not a good doing, because he nullified him. So what do you see? The guy appointed a shliach, and then he changed his mind. So you see, speech can change speech. Right? So why by Kedushin is it different? First the woman said yes, now she says no, so why can't she change her mind?
This is like a vow. I'm going to marry you in 30 days.
It's not a vow. He said, will you marry me? Listen, if I say, will you go to the store for me? And you say yes. That's a vow?
No, he's saying, I'm going to marry you in 30 days. That's not a vow?
No, he gives a Kedushin. No, he didn't say I'm marrying you in 30 days. He said, I'm doing Kedushin with you, but the Kedushin should be not effective for 30 days. So she changes her mind. So from this Mishnah, we say you make a shliach, and then you make him unshliach. Right? So you could change it. So the Gemara says, so you see from here, the dibur v'dibur hava, it's speech and speech, and v'ka'asa dibur mevatel dibur, and speech can nullify the speech. We see that. So the Gemara says, no, here's different by Kedushin, the Shtokir says. Because here he gave the woman money, and she took the money. So it's not speech undoing speech, it's speech undoing an action. Because she took the money. Right? Yeah, if it's speech and speech, I say, I make you a shliach, okay, I make you not shliach. Okay, that's speech and speech. But here the Shtokish says, Shani nesinas mois liyada isha. It's different giving money to the woman. The chimai sedom is like an action, and the speech cannot come and not an undo action. Okay? In other words, as the Mefarshim explain, Reish Lakish also agrees speech can undo speech. Like by the case of a shliach. Yeah? I could make you a shliach until you forget it. Right? Like, I could ask you to do something for me, then I could say forget it. But Reish Lakish says this case is different. Because here when he gave her the Kedushin at the beginning, she took the money. That's an action. And speech cannot undo what she did.
This money is effective after 30 days. When he gets it, not money. If not, it's...
But the fact is she took the money.
But the money is deposit. It doesn't do
it's not a deposit. The money is there for Kedushin. She took the money for Kedushin. Okay? That means she did an action that makes the Kedushin happen, eventually. Yeah. So. Can she do with speech undo that action? So Rabbi Yochanan says yes. And Reish Lakish says no.
Does she have to give the money back?
Yeah, she'll have to give it back. Okay, Eisvei. Now there's another question from Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. It says like this: a shaleach get liishtei, a man sends a get to his wife through a shliach. Through a shliach, a man sends a get to his wife. Ve'giya b'shliach, and then he reaches the shliach. Obviously, he couldn't call him on his phone because he didn't have phones in those days.
Before
he gets gives the get, the husband meets the shliach, or shashalach achrav shliach. He sent another shliach after the first one. Va'amel, and he said, get shenasati lecha batalu. The get I gave you, forget it. I don't want to give it. So what's the din? Harei zeh batal. It's not a good get. Right? Now, over here, he gave the get to a shliach. That's action.
Yeah.
The husband gave a get to the shliach to bring. Right? It's not like by Truma, he said, okay, go separate Truma, and then he said, forget it. Here, the Gemara asks, on the scene is get liyad a shliach, giving of the get into the hand of the shliach. The chinisin is more siyad isha dami. Is similar to giving money to the woman by the Kedushin case, and yet the Mishnah says, Hareza bottle, you could nullify it. You could undo the shliach. Even though it's speech versus an action, because the husband gave the get to the shliach, which is an action, and then he undoes it by saying, forget it. So why is Kedushin different? The woman accepted the money, and then she says, I don't want the Kedushin. Now, obviously, it's understood, if the shliach already gave the get to the woman, you can't undo it. It's done already. Right? So after 30 days, the woman says, I changed my mind. Then you can't do anymore. Right? Or if the shliach already gave the get, then the woman's divorced. So the shlokish, so it's a question on the shlokish. So he says like this, Hasam Nami, he says like this, Kol kama dolemata gita liyoda. The shlokish answers an interesting thing. As long as you didn't give the get to the woman, there is no action done already. Dibur v'dibur, it's actually words and words. Okay?
Because the action
is not filled,
action is not directly, it's indirect.
And therefore, asadibim batadibim, speech can undo speech.
Because this action is indirect. It's
not meaning direct. Like this. To explain very simply, a shliach is me. When I give you the get to bring to the woman, yeah, I didn't give you anything. It's just you're my hand. If I pick up the get from the table and put it in my hand, that's called an action. I didn't give it to her. I didn't do anything. Just that I gave the get to the shliach is just me. It's my extended hand, my extension cord hand. But over here, by Kedushin, the Shlokish says, she took the money. She took the money. So how could she undo what she did by saying, I don't want this wedding, I don't want the Kedushin, that you can't do?
By the way, in the case of the get, if the get already is way half the way on the way, there is no contact, but he changed his mind, he regretted that he sent the Shuliyah.
Yeah, we had that case.
Yeah, so what was the case then? Because it seems like he could...
Not necessarily. That's a complicated case in Gittin that we're not getting into now. The Gemara talks about in the fourth paragraph of Gittin, but like, that's a complicated case.
But you just mentioned this.
No, I'm saying, but here he came to the shliach and said, don't give it.
Right.
If the shliach doesn't know and the shliach gives the get, right. How's he supposed to think what the husband wants? What?
I don't know if it's a question or not. The Gemara says, I came as the part of Helen Asse. So
not.
It doesn't say Kim as, it says Mas,
If I say I'm going, let me ask you a question. If I say I'm going to put on tefillin, I did? Yeah. Huh?
No.
What does it mean, Akim Esfasav Avamaisa?
Like
verbal articulation is considered an action. Okay? But it's not an action to make something that's not done or something that's done undone. You know what I mean? It's not the proper act. You're right, the Gemara says in many places, Akim Esfasav Avamaisa, verbal articulation is considered action. But it depends for what. You know, if you say I'm going to put on tefillin, doesn't mean you did. Or I'm going to give tzedakah, doesn't mean you did. It's different action than this. Huh? It's action and speech level, but not for action level. In other words, there's a logic to say, thought can undo thought, speech can undo speech. Thought cannot undo speech, and speech cannot undo action. Okay? That's the only question in this case, meanwhile, is we're discussing, is this really an action or not? Shem Shlokish says, her accepting the money is an action, and therefore she can't undo it by just changing her mind. And Rabbi Yechon says it's not an action yet because the Kedusha wasn't effective. Because the Kedusha not effective for 30 days, what she accepted the money is not an action of Kedushin.
It's conditional.
Rish Lakish says, the whole action of Kedushin is done, the only thing is missing is time. That happens by itself. Do you know what I mean? Right. Right.
As long as it's conditional, it can be reversed. It seems like.
Well, that's what Rabbi Yechonin holds, and Rish Lakish says, if there was a slight action involved, you can't. Okay, now the Gemara is going to reverse the role. Eitzi, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechonin. Rish Lakish is going to ask a question to Rabbi Yechonin. There's a din like this. Kol ha-kelim yordum lidei tumah b'machshava. All kelim could go down to tumah through thought, but vein elim in tumasa ele b'shini maisa. It cannot go out of tumah unless if you do an action. Well, this din is like this. Something, in order to be tumah, needs to become susceptible. Okay? So like we learned yesterday in the Chumash class, produce needs to be wet. At one time it has to be wet. Even if it later dried, it doesn't matter. In order for material to become tamei, it has to be a keli. It has to be a vessel. Okay? Now, what happens? A person... A keli is being made. Okay? And the person's mind, it's already done and usable. It's already done and usable. So the Mishnah says that the Mishnah is bringing down, that thought makes it a keli. That thought makes it a keli. Now it's susceptible to become, something tummy touches it, it becomes tummy. But to undo that, you need an action, meaning you need to break the keli to get rid of the tumma. Okay? Thought can make it a keli, but thought cannot make it not keli. Well, then you think, no, I don't want to use it. It's not ready to use yet. I need to finish it. Right? You know, there's certain things, you put things, you're ready to, technically could, they could be used, but it's up to you. Are you going to use it or not use it? So the Mishnah says, to make it a keli, your thought can make it a keli. To make it a non-keli, your thought can't do it. You need action to do it.
Yeah?
Ideal changing opinion, isn't it the same?
No.
Changing the idea, is it changing
no.
the
No. No. Okay, then elam they tumasam, but you cannot emerge it from tuma ela b'shinoi ma'isa. Why? So Reish Lakish says because ma'isa meitze midei ma'isa, action can take it out of action, or miyad machshava and from thought, because you thought to make it a keli, machshava ein meitze lei miyad ma'isa v'lei miyad machshava, and machshava therefore cannot take it out from action, and it can't even take it out of machshava. Bishla miyad ma'isa le'mafke, I understand action, it can't. Dolei osa dibur mevatel ma'isa, because speech can't come and nullify action. Ela miyad machshava, miyad topic. Why can't thought undo thought? And you see the Mishnah says it can't. So you see, just like thought can't undo thought, speech can't undo speech. In other words, if I think this is going to be a keli, it becomes a keli. Now what happens if I want to undo it through thought? No, I'm not done yet. I'm going to do more to make it a keli. So the Mishnah says, your thought cannot undo the previous thought. Right? If thought can't undo thought, then how could speech undo speech? So Reish Lakish is proving his point. Reish Lakish said, speech cannot undo speech. Rabbi Yochanan said, speech could undo speech. Reish Lakish says, speech cannot undo speech, and Reish Lakish proves it. Because this Mishnah clearly says by Tuma, that thought can make it a keli. But once it's a keli because of your thought, you can't unthink it and make it a non-keli. That means thought can't undo thought. So the speech, same thing, speech can't undo speech. So Reish Lakish, that's a proof to me that speech cannot undo speech.
Also, if there's something is coming, you declare it coming. You can't say, no, it's not coming once you say it's coming. Is that
That's because that's a different reason, because then you made yourself treif. It's like a vow that you made that this is treif. So Gemara answers like this. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you're talking about tuma. Tuma is a different din. Shani machshava de tuma. Thought of tuma is like action. That means thinking to make something a keli, which makes it susceptible to become tamei, is like an action. And he proves it. Because Rav Papa, like Rav Papa's din, because Rav Papa asks a question of two contradictory psukim. We discussed this last night. One pasuk says ki yitain, and you read it ki yutan. Okay. Now, in Hebrew, there's things the way it's written, and there are things the way it's read. Okay. Now. Yutan means passive. Yitain is you give, it's active. Okay? Now, normally, in Hebrew, yitain is written yud, tof, nun. Yitain. Yutan is written yud, vav, tof, nun. Okay? Active is without the vav. Passive, ki yutan, means if water was put, ki yiti means you put. Right? Now, there's a very interesting thing. A lot of times in Chumash, the Torah writes it one way, but you read it a different way. Okay? In Chumash, the Torah speaks this din that we were discussing right now. In order for crops to become susceptible to become tamei, the Torah says water has to be given on it. They have to get wet. If something that grew from the ground, and then you cut it from the ground, and it's dry, and never got wet after it was off the ground, and something tamei touches it, it does not become tamei. Because in order for things to become tamei, they need to become susceptible to tumah. For crops, it has to be gotten wet. By kalim, we just said, it has to be a keli. A plain piece of metal or a plain piece of wood is not necessarily going to become tamei. Right? It has to become a keli. Now, so Torah says a din, in order for zera, plant life, to become tamei, you need to get it wet. Now, the question is, what does that mean? That you have to intentionally want it to be wet? What happens if water fell on by itself? So if the Torah would say, yitain, yitain means you have to give it. If the Torah says, yutan, it means as long as it got wet, it doesn't matter how. Okay? That would be the difference. The problem is, in the Chumash, it's written, yitain, but we read it, yutan.
No,
there's no vav in the Chumash. So normally it would be written, read yitain. But we know from Moshe Mi-Sinai that it's read yutan. So what is it? Is it yitain? Or is it yutan? It's written yitain, but we read it yutan. What's the difference? Do you actively put water on it? Or if water fell by itself on it? Which one is it? So the Gemara says, the fact that yit and yutan are together, right? We learn like this. It has to be yutan similar to yitain. What does yutan similar to yitain mean? It doesn't matter that you poured it on. Even if it just water fell from the roof, you know, broken gutter, fell onto the, it's good enough. That's only though if it's similar to the level that you gave it. What does it mean you gave it? When I give it, I want it to get wet. The same thing, if it got wet by itself, it has to be that I'm happy that it got wet. But if it fell on the thing by itself and I was upset that it got wet, it's not susceptible to tumor.
Even on the crop?
Even on the crops.
Oh, that's interesting.
Where do we learn this out from? Yitain means I want to give it. I give it. Yutan means it happened. Right? But the Torah writes yitain, yutaf nun, but we read it yutan. That if you read, when you lay in the Torah, you have to read chi yutan mayim al zera. If you read ki yitain, you have to correct the Balkari because it's a different meaning. Yitain means you give. Yutan means it passively was given. Right? So when the Torah says yit and yutan together, so the Gemara, the Mishnah is going to say like this. Just like when you give it, you were happy that it got wet? The same thing, if it happened by itself, the only way it becomes susceptible to become tamei is if you were happy that it happened.
At that time that it's wet or later?
No. When it happened.
Yep.
Let's see it in insight. Rav Papa asked a question between these two words that we're just saying. It says in the Torah ki yitain, because it says v'yud tof nun, but we read it ki yutan wudavav. So he says, okay, tzad, it's two different meanings. Yitain means you want to give it. Yutan means it happened by itself. Which one is it? So he says, yutan dumi dechi yitain. It has to, in other words, even if it passively becomes wet, it's still susceptible to tumah. But only if it's done in a way that you were happy with it, like yitain. And he says, he has to be yutan dumi dechi yitain. Ma yitain denichalei. Just say by yitain, when you make the stuff wet, you wanted it to become wet, and you're happy that it became wet. The same thing the Gemara says, afyutan denichalei. Okay? So therefore, what do you see from Rav Papa? It's very interesting. My thought, if the water makes it susceptible or not, is dependent on what? On what I'm thinking. I want it, I don't want it. So you see, by Tumah, thought is like an action. Because it got wet anyway. But if I didn't want it to get wet, it's not going to be susceptible to tumah. If I want it to become wet, then it does become susceptible to tumah, right? So the Gemara basically saying, you see, by tumah, thought is very, very powerful.
How are we connected to our problem?
No, because the Shlokish asked Rabbi Yechanan a question that you see that
Words can undo words,
right? So he says, just like thought can undo thought, so words can undo words.
Thought
is action. So he says, no. By tumah, thought is action. So action can undo thought.
But that's by tumah.
Right. So he says, therefore, by here, you can't compare the two. But the whole proof was from tumah. So the Bechon says, how could you bring a proof from tumah? Over there, thought is an action. But normal thought cannot undo thought. Can speech undo speech? No. And therefore, by the case of the woman, if she changes her mind, Rabbi Yechon says she could change her mind.
What's the halacha?
We're not done with the Gemara. The halacha is like Rabbi Yechon, by the way. Yeah. What? If you wanted it to get wet, if you wanted to, in other words, what you're talking about, we learned in the Gemara Shabbos, people used to put, they didn't have dryers.
Okay.
How did they dry their fruits? They would lay it out on the roof. Now, when the guy laid it out on the roof, he did it that the sun should dry it. Yeah? Now, Hashem was very kind, and he made it rain. Now, all the fruit got wet. Did he pour the water on it? No. It got wet. Yutan. Okay. Did he want the fruit to get wet?
No.
No. He wants them to dry, not to get wet. So then the Gemara said, that's what, exactly this thing, what we learned in Gemara Shabbos. In that case, the fruit does not become susceptible to tumah. If the guy himself poured water on the fruit, and then he says, I didn't want, that's ridiculous, because why did you do it? You did it. But if the guy, Taka, this is exactly the case, exactly the case of this din. If the guy was drying the fruit, and it rained, so then the fruit is not susceptible to tumah yet. Even though it got sopping wet, because he didn't want it to get wet. He wanted it to be dry.
That's only by tumah.
Only by tumah.
What do you mean it becomes made in a tumah? Like, not that it's wet. How it becomes tumah that if somebody...
If a bug touches it, a shed it, a tummy, like a person touches it. Right.
If it wasn't wet, it wouldn't become
dry.
If tvua grain was cut from the ground, never got wet, and a person whose tummy, touches it, it does not become tummy. Why it's exerted kosev? It doesn't make sense.
I think it's under the impression as long as it's wet, it gets tummy, right?
No, even if it's not wet anymore, even if it's dried. Yeah, even if a year ago got wet, and it's still going
to
accept
it. Nobody intended it to be But in that case, it doesn't matter because it just happens to be.
If it just happened to be, and the guy was happy that it got wet, then it's susceptible to tumah. Why? Sometimes the guy wants the food to stay fresher that way. Do you know? No, no. The Torah. Why the Torah does that? That's God.
No, I mean it's the other way around.
No, but in the Chumash, it's written Yitain.
It should be Yitain.
No, no, but we don't read it Yitain. Hashem told Moshe ben Har Sinai, this word is written Yitain, but we read it Yutan. So a lot of things like that in the Chumash.
No,
it's called the Kri and the Ksiv.
The halacha is not like Yitain, that if you place and you have it, you have a machshava. Like,
yeah, but we read it Yutan.
I don't know why we read it.
But that's what the Torah says, because the Torah is teaching the halacha. Because the Torah says, even if it's Yutan, but as long as it's like Yitain, we read it Yutan, that means any way it got wet doesn't matter. But it has to be getting wet in a way that Yitain, that you're happy that it got wet.
What if you don't know? If you happen to come across food that you don't know who the person...
Flip a coin.
What?
It's up to the owner if it's susceptible or not.
We don't know.
We don't know. We find out. Okay, now, this is the Gemara until now. until now, the Gemara is going, the argument of Rabbi Yochanan Shlokesh, can the woman change her mind, is going on a case as follows. A man says to a woman, here's the ring, after 30 days. And she changed her mind. Rabbi Yochanan says she could, Rabbi Shlokesh says she can't. Comes along in Azvid and says that's not where Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish were arguing. It's a different case. What's the din? Azvid Masna Lahashmaita. Azvid learns it on a different case. It says also in the Mishnah, in the next Mishnah, not this one, later on, 20 blot from here. It says like this. The case is different. The woman gave permission for her shliach to accept kedushin from somebody.
The woman.
The woman made the shliach. There's a case like this. A woman calls in the guy. Says, do me a favor. Go get kedushin. Find a man for me. Meanwhile, she goes and gets her own man. She accepts kedushin from somebody else. So what's the din? If the other guy's first, then she's married to that guy. If hers is first, then she's married to her guy, right? Once she's married, she can't have two husbands, right? So that's what the Gemara is saying. She gave permission to a shliach to accept kedushin for her. And then she went and did her own kedushin. Great woman. So it says, Im shalak kud kadmo, if hers is first, kedushin, her kedushin is valid because she got it first. Im shal shalucha kadmo, if the shliach's kedushin was first, right? And don't forget, he's her shliach. So soon as he accepts kedushin for her, she's mekudashes. So ain't kedushin kedushin. Okay? Her kedushin is not kedushin. Okay? That's the case. Now,
if they do both, now they come
once. Oh, that's impossible.
Why not?
To know.
So what should do?
If we don't know, she can marry one and give a get to the other, or divorce them both.
Divorce.
She can't marry both of them. We don't know which one's the real husband. So she, if she wants, she can give a get from one and marry the other, or get a get from the other guy and marry, or give a get from both. Now the Gemara is going to say the punchline over here. What happens? She didn't do her own kedushin. After the shliach went to find the kedushin, she said, "You know what? I changed my mind. I don't want him to do it." Can she change her mind or not? Meaning the shliach went and got kedushin from somebody, but she changed her mind before the shliach did it.
I
mean, if she accepted kedushin from somebody else, for sure her action undoes that. Here it's speaking, the case is she sends a shliach to go accept kedushin. Okay, let's say it took 3 days. At the end of 2 days, she said, "You know what? I don't want to get married. Finished. I don't want."
Moment, she decides that it nullifies the.
Well, that's the question. That's the going to be argument of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Same argument. Can she? But this is a different case because the woman is sending the guy to accept kedushin for her, not the man.
That's my point.
Same thing.
She's got to be willing. We know that the woman has to always be.
Can she change? Can she undo the shliach though?
Well, she's not willing. It doesn't matter. Anymore.
See, the difference is, the difference is here. She never accepted kedushin. There's no action here. From her part.
Yeah, that's true.
See, by Rish Lakish, we said before Rish Lakish said she could change her mind. She cannot change her mind, Rish Lakish said, because she accepted Kedushin. Here, she didn't do anything. She just said, go. So can she change her mind or not? So again, the Gemara says the same argument. Rabbi Yechanan Amar Chizeres, she could change her mind. Rabbi Rish Lakish Amar Ein Chizeres, she can't change her mind. What's the argument? So again, the same thing. Why? Speech can come and undo speech. She made him a shliach. She unmade him a shliach. Rish Lakish Amar, no. Ein chazeres. Why? She cannot undo it. Okay.
It was an action. Why can I do that? The first one has, the lady has action. This there no action.
So over here,
no,
it's more extreme on Rish Lakish's part. Before Rish Lakish said you can't change your mind because she did accept the money. She did some type of action. Here, Rish Lakish is saying a clear statement. Speech can undo speech. I can say go, I can say don't go. You can undo it.
Because this is her shaliach. I sent you to do something. Okay, I can change my mind. Because the shaliach is the extension of the person, you know. You're nobody, the shaliach. Who are you? You know, I'm sending you. Makes sense, you know?
So if he doesn't know it.
Who? Rish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan?
Rabbi Yochanan. Makes sense. Because the shaliach.
Rabbi Yochanan makes more sense logically, correct.
Yeah, he doesn't have his own entity.
The Gemara is going to refute Rish Lakish, by the way. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara is going to rule the Halacha of Rabbi Yochanan in both cases. Even when she accepted the Kedushin, the Halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yochanan, she could change her mind. The first case we had. And definitely this case. The question is, it's a very simple question. Can an equal undo an equal? Action can undo speech. I understand, action is stronger than words. Speech can undo thought because it's stronger. The question is, can thought undo thought? Can speech undo speech? And can action undo action?
Action do action.
Action can undo action. That's a given.
So what is the base of the machloket? What is the logic?
The argument is the same concept. Does Rish Lakish hold that even words alone, you cannot undo words because of words?
Well, it's not powerful enough?
No.
Why cannot do? I don't understand. Why not? What is the reason that we cannot do? Can do makes sense, but not. Why cannot do? Because you say something, you cannot go back on it?
The Mepharshim brings out at the bottom. Some Mepharshim learn that over here, it says like this. It explains that the Sefer Nachlas Meish explains. Even Rish Lakish would agree. If I say I'm going to do something for you, I could change my mind. If I say I'm going to go to the store for you, can I say change my mind? I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Right. I speech is not undoing speech. Right? So that obviously is a given. Speech can undo speech. The problem over here is she appointed this guy to do an action for her. What did she tell the shliach to do? Go accept kedushin for me. Okay? The fact that she told him to do an action, Reish Lakish in this case holds, it's still stronger than just words. And therefore, just to say, forget it, he can't do it.
There's an action attached to this deal.
Correct. And he's right, as small as it may be, but there is something. It's not like, say, I'm going to give you money, I change my mind. I'm going to give you a present, I change my mind. You can't force me to give it to you if I change my mind. Speech can't undo speech. Speech can undo speech. But here's not normal speech. She appointed a shliach to go get to do an action for me. Yeah, but he went to do an action. To the extent, by the way, if his action was before she changed her mind, or she accepted kedushin from somebody else after the shliach accepted kedushin, she couldn't change her mind. Right? If she sends the shliach,
and then
the shliach does the kedushin right away, and then she didn't know that, and 2 hours later she accepts kedushin from a different man, her kedushin is worthless. So it's not a shliach stam words. The guy has a certain power that she gave him. She empowered him with a certain power that he can do something very powerful for her.
She.
Huh? That she.
Was it he or she?
It doesn't matter. It could be a she or he.
It's like, you shoot something, you can't get it back. You send the shliach, you can't reach the shliach. You change your mind, the shliach can accept the kiddushin. And you already did it. While at the same time you change your mind. How would that work? What's the case?
Let me ask you a question. And this is very interesting because this is a whole discussion about the Kamat and Mukhi Yesa with Lichbench. A guy shoots a gun. Let's say it takes a minute just to make it clear. I shoot somebody, and it takes a minute to get the bullet to get it. And then, I changed my mind. I don't want to kill him. Now, the guy wasn't killed yet.
Right.
Correct? So, can he come to court and say, I never intended to kill him? It's accident, shagig, city of refuge, no death.
I changed my mind after I pulled the trigger.
Right. Can you say that? You can't say that. Okay? There's a very interesting argument between also Rabbi Yechon Reish Lakish in Bava Kama. There's a din in the Torah, if a fire goes out, you light a fire in your backyard. Normal wind, it goes out and burns down somebody else's house. You have to pay damages, correct? Now, in the damages of Torah, like for instance, if my axe kills your axe, I didn't kill your axe. My property killed your axe, and I'm responsible to watch my axe. Okay? So the Gemara has an argument between Rabbi Yechon and Shlokish. When I light a fire, it's a very interesting thing, very simple, very interesting. I light a fire, and the fire goes out. Is that me damaging or my property damaging? Rabbi Yechon holds, Eish is like an arrow. If I shoot a gun, an arrow, I shoot an arrow at somebody and it kills them. Did my property kill him or did I kill him? Or I take a ball, let's not speak about killing. I take a ball and throw it in your window. I break your window. Was that my property breaking your window or I broke your window? So that's the argument to Rabbi Yechon Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yechon says, fire exactly, is like your arrow. And Reish Lakish says, no, it's your money. It's your property. Okay? Now, what does this mean? That when I shoot an arrow, just to picture this scenario in Halacha, when I shoot an arrow, what do you mean it's me? It's like I'm going constantly with it, My hand is going with the arrow and her hitting you. That's what it is. Yeah? So the Namukha Yosef is a Rishon. This is very famous what I'm saying now. The Namukha Yosef back at the Gemara asks the question. If fire means that your hand is constantly doing it, so he says, how could a woman light Shabbos candles Friday night? The candles are burning into Shabbos. It's like she's lighting the candle the whole time. That's what he asks. According to Rabbi Yechon, which is the halacha, by the way, that a fire is like your hand going with it. That means when I break the window, it's like my hand broke the window because my hand is going with the arrow. So he asks the question, how can a woman light Shabbos candles Friday night? It's burning into Shabbos, so why isn't it considered as if she's lighting the fire on Shabbos? So he answers an interesting answer. He says that by an arrow, or fire which is likened to an arrow, or a gun, or a ball, because, and this is what you said, because when it comes out of my hand, I can't take it back anymore. Correct? I can't take it back anymore. I can't take the bullet back. Okay. So therefore, then this is what the Mukhe says, is the very unique thinking. He says, the second I shoot the arrow, the person's dead already. The second I light the Shabbos candles, it's like it's completely burnt already. Because my action is completely done.
It's true. But the fact that they close the eyes and the eyes open, does it have something to do with that?
this is practical, this is halachic. And Mukayesa says, halachically, it means that when I light a fire, it's like the building was burnt down already. Or the whole candle was finished. Because I can't change my mind.
And he's not going with that whole Shabbos?
No. That's what he says. The fire is finished burning already the second you lit it. Because your action was all done already.
The first time is interesting, doesn't it?
I'll give you another example in a different way. If there's an oven on Shabbos, the oven's on, yeah? And on Shabbos they take raw challah, dough, okay? And put it into the oven and the challah bakes. Am I baking on Shabbos? Yeah. Right? Correct? I'm baking on Shabbos. I put the thing into the oven, right? Okay. But if you think in a minute, it takes a half an hour to bake. I'm not baking it. When I put it in, did it get baked? It's going to take a half an hour, but that, you know. Or if a guy says, this is Gemara, I changed my mind, I don't want the challah to bake. Can you change your mind? The only thing you could do, by the way, if you take the challah out of the oven. But you know, it's interesting. If I wanted to bake challah on Shabbos, yeah, I didn't care, I'm rebelling. I'm going to bake challah on Shabbos. And for some crazy reason, the fire went out. Or for some crazy reason, the oven broke. Or, for whatever reason it is, somebody took the bread out of the oven before it became browned on the outside. I'm not chayiv.
That's not considered baked.
Did I bake? But, if I put it in, and an hour later it gets baked, it's like I did it.
How is that different than the hour on Shabbos camel?
Huh? You see?
How is that different than the hour on the Shabbos camel?
Because halachically, as soon as I put it in, it's baked. No, this is cooking. It's not fire. Lighting a fire is different. This is a different malacha. Okay, to be continued.